This is VOCM News Talk. Call 709-273-5211 or 1-888-590-8626. The views and opinions of this program are not necessarily those of this station. Here's VOCM News Talk host Linda Swain.
And good afternoon, all. How you making out at all? What was it like for you, Greg, this weekend? Much shoveling?
Oh, yeah. I'm sore here today.
Yeah, for sure. And even if you had a snowblower, it was tough. Because then all your neighbors are looking longingly at you. I know my husband was out. Oh, my gosh. He was out all day. I'm losing track of the days now. Was it Saturday or Sunday?
Yeah, Saturday probably. Yeah. But the snow was heavy, right? It wasn't good for the snowblowers. And I was talking to a few folks who've had snowblowers broken. A buddy of mine has a blade on the front of his truck, and that pushed off to one side because the snow was so heavy and waterlogged. And yeah, it was like sand there on Friday for a while.
It was. It was weird. It was like walking on a beach for because the the granules were so round. You know, so you're walking around, you're like, bleh, bleh. I don't know. You wouldn't want to be barefoot in it for sure. But yeah, what a dumping of snow we had on the Avalon Peninsula. Some places got it worse than others. Did you see the TikTok video in Upper Island Cove?
Mm-hmm.
With that big drift now, Island Cove always gets a lot of snow, depending on which way the wind is coming, because it's got that big ridge.
Right.
If you've ever been in Island Cove, it's got that huge ridge there. And if it's not an avalanche, it's snow coming down. And I mean, like a landslide, sorry. There's been avalanches and landslides in that area. And yeah, they show that big drift showing up, and even the woman standing with the hockey stick fully extended above her head, she still couldn't reach the top of that snowbank that had drifted up. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it was almost, we mentioned over the weekend in our group chats about rivaling Snowmageddon in a way, but I feel like the snow was worse this go around just because it was so heavy, so jam-packed. We were lucky that all that snow we had last week before Friday melted away, because I don't know where we would have put it to after Friday.
No, indeed. I mean, if you had that side by each kind of picture of before and after, it was really stark.
Mm-hmm.
Because the grass was showing in our backyard for about, 4 or 5 days before boom.
Yeah.
Oh, the poor dog. I let the dog out for a pee the other day. And I'm sure any pet owner will appreciate this. But she went out. She's, a medium-sized dog. I say she's a good 50 pounds anyway. And anyway, she went out and stepped off the deck and went whoop. And it was just the nose poking out. It was just like she was underwater.
Yeah.
And she didn't know what to do.
We were worried with our dog because there was a big drift in the back by the neighbor's fence, but he gets to the end of the deck, and luckily the deck's fairly long, and he gets down to the end. He's like, yeah, I'm not going no further than here. I'm good. And he's smart that way, luckily.
Well, I saw it. Funny you mentioned that. When I was coming into work on Friday morning, and this is when the snow had already started, I saw two happy chaps racing up LaMarchant Road without a care in the world. I'm sure their owners had no idea. They were having so much fun giving her on LaMarchant Road, but obviously they got up over a snowbank somewhere and up over a fence and gone. I mean, you couldn't see them for dust. They were anyway. I hope they have been reunited with their owners. And we've got more weather coming on the way, but at least it's not snow. The Avalon Peninsula, of course, is in for a soaking with heavy rainfall warnings in place and a very real possibility of flooding in many areas. Environment Canada meteorologist David Neal joins me now. Well, David, what was it like out Gander way the weekend?
We did pick up a decent amount of snow, picked up about around just a little over between 20 and 25 centimeters of snow out this way. But once that kind of went by, actually yesterday turned out to be a lovely day out our way. But we did get a good little shot of snow there. Not quite the same as on the Avalon, but not too bad to kind of prolong some of the winter activities anyway.
No, indeed. And in Gander, it's great. You get on the skidoo and off you go. But in the metro region, a little bit different. You got to get around on the city streets, and that's been a bit of a challenge. How much did we get?
Well, I've seen saw some pretty wide-ranging amounts across the Avalon Peninsula. Really, the entire peninsula saw some very significant snowfall. In terms of the reported snowfall, it looks like an observer in Kilbride who reported 90 centimeters. So that is the high market from what the data that we have. Otherwise, across the Avalon, we had amounts ranging anywhere from 50 centimeters to 80 in some areas. Definitely a very big amount of snow over that roughly day and a half period there at the later part of last week.
Big amount of snow indeed, and I noticed that Environment Canada put out a little warning, you know, make sure you got your drains opened up and that sort of thing. If you can find them is the big challenge in here right now. So what are we expecting? Is there a possibility we could see some flooding?
There is with this next system coming in. Obviously, we got certainly a little bit of warmer air for some areas, especially right along the east coast. So, mainly through the Avalon, Buran Peninsula, parts of the south coast, parts of the east coast. So, the areas that did get those heavy snowfall amounts, we are expecting some rain and milder temperatures to move in. What we can expect, basically just had a little bit of spotty kind of freezing drizzle a little earlier today. That's kind of tapered off to just a little bit of patchy fog there. But as we get into this evening, expecting another area of rain to move in across the Avalon Peninsula, and that could be heavy at times. So we do have rainfall warnings in effect, basically from the Kanagra Peninsula east, and then the northern Avalon, and then basically the entire Avalon Peninsula and the Bonavista Peninsula. Rainfall totals likely again to be quite variable, but generally looking at about 30 to 50 millimeters over those regions through either late today or tonight into part of the day on Tuesday. So, yeah, definitely with that, with the amount of snow that did fall, that bit of mild and that bit of rain could certainly cause some areas of flooding and some significant water pooling on roads as well.
And I understand the winds are going to be quite high as well.
We also have some wind warnings in effect. The wind warnings basically extend along really the entire south coast and much of the east coast as well, but also including the Rec House area, where if we have seen a peak gust today up to 150 kilometers an hour. Gusts are down now to about 130 in the Rec House area, but those winds are expected to stay quite strong into the evening hours. Elsewhere along the south and east coast, expecting maximum gusts upwards of 100 to 110 along parts of the coast. Really with that, parts of the south coast starting to see those pick up, and then we expect that to move along to the east coast into tonight. Along with the rain and the mild, expecting some stronger winds to move in as well.
When can we expect this rain to dissipate?
So that band of rain, it kind of comes through really mainly through tonight. Parts of the south coast, it looks like it should taper off by Tuesday morning. And then northern Avalon may linger a little bit later into the morning, but looks like that rain will taper off fairly early in the day tomorrow, Tuesday. Things stay fairly calm, but this storm does kind of stick around. Do have another bit of precipitation that will move into the Avalon Peninsula likely early in the day on Wednesday. That'll probably be a little bit more likely to remain mainly a snow, though we could see some rain mixing in with it at times as well. So not quite done, but certainly the main area of rain that we are concerned about will be mainly through mainly tonight and into early part of Tuesday.
And will the temperatures remain relatively mild? I know you mentioned that this next system could have a little bit of snow in it, but I'm thinking if all of this melts, it's going to be like a skating rink out there if it gets cold.
Looks like over the next little while, temperatures in the metro area look like they're going to kind of hover around freezing. You know, during the day, it might be a bit above, and then during the night, it may get down around freezing, maybe a touch below for the most part. Really looking at temperatures, they're going to kind of be hovering in that kind of 0 to +2 range thereabouts over the next few days. And that kind of lingers around until looks like kind of later this week when may get a little touch colder than that. Might see some temperatures down in the kind of the that -2, -3 range at times as we get into late week and into the weekend. But for the next few days, it looks like temperatures really kind of hovering around freezing for the most part for the next few days. So. Not likely to see a rapid freeze, but certainly into the overnight hours, at times you may see some ice forming in a few places. So, really, just a mess, just a very very messy a few days, especially after that snow that had fallen late last week and into the early part of the weekend. So. Definitely won't be the nicest time out on the roads for the next or on the roads, sidewalks, wherever it is you might be. It's not going to be an overly nice couple of days.
And mind driving around, especially in those heavy accumulations of water and any flooding in the rain, because I know someone lost their engine block that way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely something to keep in mind. Another thing, too, I guess, just before, just to mention as well, for other areas of the island, we do have some snowfall warnings in effect. Basically, really anywhere kind of you got the East Coast, which is likely to see mostly rain, but then other eastern areas, and then we go in through kind of central and then up to the eastern side of the Northern Peninsula. So looking at another period of heavy snowfall, and this time around it's going to be quite wet, heavy snow for these areas. So yeah, definitely this one, this storm will have a pretty wide reach in terms of significant weather.
Yes, and I saw those accumulations on the Northern Peninsula. David, thank you very much for this.
Not a problem. Thank you.
So, brace yourselves. It's going to get windy, really windy, in many areas of the island, and, of course, some pretty significant rainfall in short spurts here on the eastern portion of the island and parts of the south coast. So with all of this snow that's accumulated in the last little while, you can expect that there will be flooding, because basically there's nowhere for it to go. So just be mindful of all of that as you plan your evening and early day tomorrow. Well, because of those concerns, Mayor Danny Breen spoke with reporters earlier today. We'll take you to that conversation when we come back right after this. This is News Talk on VOCM.
Stay informed and have your say on the news of the day with your VOCM. Join Linda Swain weekday afternoons from 4 to 5 p.m. for an hour of talk and discussion with decision makers and listeners like you. News Talk on your VOCM.
Well, as you know, the capital city region saw a tremendous amount of snow on the weekend, and navigating city streets still a challenge, with narrow cuts on many roads and tall snowbanks obscuring views at many intersections. A lot of areas that have two lanes narrowed down to one single lane, and that's a bit challenging when you're trying to get in and out of traffic, especially in those on and off ramps. Well, Mayor Danny Breen met with reporters today, including VOCM's Sarah Strickland.
So, you know, we have all the streets are open. We've got them all open. Now we're beginning the widening. At the same time, we are doing snow removals. Did snow removal downtown last night on Water Street. And tonight we have three more snow removals in place. We're using contractors because our staff are also continuing the widening of other streets in the city. And we have another crew that are out looking at the issues that may arise coming from flooding if with the expected amount of rain. So we have all our resources out and dealing with the next wave of whatever it is we're going to be dealing with in the next couple of days.
Can you expand a bit on that plan for the 20, 30 millimeters we're getting this evening?
Yeah, so one thing about this time of year when you have heavy rain like that, you don't really know where the flooding may occur. So we do know some areas that have been problematic in the past, some areas with that our crews are out looking at those, making sure that they're freed up. There's a lot of catch basins in the city. Not all of them are going to be exposed in time for the the rain. So we'll continue to monitor it and have our crews ready to go when they're needed.
How much is in the city budget now when it comes to snow clearing and a lot? And where are we with that right now?
So we have about a $25 million annual budget for snow clearing, and so that works on an annual basis. It's not according to this to the season, so it runs from January to December. In that as well as we have reserves. So in years that we don't use all the 25, all our allotted budget, we create a reserve and add to that reserve in the years when we would need that money. So we're in that situation right now. We'll be dipping into the reserves this year. But you know, it is one of those things. It's an expensive operation. If you look at a snow clearing, a snow removal exercise we did a few weeks ago in Kenmount Terrace, that was about a $350,000 contract that to have that work done. So this is an expensive operation, but when the snow falls, it has to be cleared, and safety is of paramount importance.
How much extra will this storm cost in contractors, do you know yet?
No idea right now, but it is expensive. It is an expensive part of it, but we have to get the snow removed or blown back or whatever it is we need to do with it in order to create more space. If we have another snowstorm and we don't have that snow pushed back, then it becomes difficult again to store that snow.
I know you have timelines after a storm. If it's less than 25 centimeters, it'll take generally 24 hours or so to clean up after a storm. What about this one? Have you set any targets?
No, we haven't. Look, we have our crews are working. All our equipment's out. All our crews are out. We have all our resources put on it. We have, and it's not only the resources of operating the plows. There's a full network behind this from our communications people informing the public of what's happening, our mechanics and the people working in the different areas. And in this case, we also have other public works crews who are taking care of any possible flooding issues that may arise. So we've got a full complement of staff and resources that are out. It just takes time. It takes time and it takes patience. I'd like to thank the public for their patience. It is a lot of snow to fall in a short period of time. We had the city back open again on Sunday, but it's going to take a while to get it cleaned up. So we just ask that the public be patient while our crews are working as hard as they can to get it done.
How can the public help with the process? You mentioned it takes a village. And how can they help prepare for the rainfall we're getting?
Look, if it's possible and if you're able and there's a catch basin near your home and you want to clear that, that's a good idea. But if you can, I always tell people that fire hydrants, we have about 3,500 fire hydrants in the city. So we have a contractor that does them. Obviously, they can't do them all at once. So if you have a fire hydrant and you're able to free up that fire hydrant, it's a good idea to be able to do that as well just to keep your car off the road wherever possible. The more cars are on the road, the more difficult it is for our operators to do the work they have to do, and try to be cognizant of the surroundings you're in. Streets are narrower, you have to be a bit more patient. It's going to take you a little bit more time to get places, and be respectful of other people and allow them the opportunity to move about as well. So if we all do our part, we'll get through this and as safely as possible.
I see a lot of pedestrians out on the road, walking on the roadway. Some sidewalks are cleared, some are not. What should pedestrians expect?
Well, you know, we're working as hard as we can on the sidewalks. There's a lot of cases where we're just going to have to get the bigger blowers that do the streets are going to be the only ones that are going to be able to get through the sidewalks. We're trying to get, we had a lot of drifting in this storm, and you can see the result of that in some of the snowbanks that you see around. So our crews are continuing to work on us, and we'll get them open as soon as possible.
What were some of the biggest challenges with this storm specifically?
I think it's the duration of the storm. I think we had a lot of drifting that caused problems. We were able to keep our plows on the road during the whole storm. We didn't have to take our plows off the road, so that helped us a bit. And people also in, we had a lot of cars that were left abandoned or just left and couldn't get off the road on Friday evening and into Saturday. That created a lot of problems, particularly in the downtown area. And I know in some areas downtown, we had to use sidewalk snowplows to get up some of the streets because of the cars and that were left on the road and are just not parked where they just couldn't get them off the road. So those are all challenges, but you know, our staff do what they got to do to get the job done, and they're working through it, and you know, just takes time, patience, and we'll get the work done.
How does this one compare to Snowmageddon?
I think the difference with Snowmageddon is we had a lot of snow on the ground before it started. In this case, we were lucky enough to have a lot of snow removals done with the last storm, and we also had some thawing that happened. So that was helpful. Snowmageddon, we also we had our plows taken off the road, so we had a lot of snow that got packed in with very, very high winds. And we had to take the plows off at that time for safety reasons for our staff. So that was a big problem. And if you recall, we had to use a lot of snow blowers to get streets done after Snowmageddon. While this one, we were able to use the plows. Although, as you can imagine, the plows move a lot slower and the work takes a lot longer when you have that volume of snow. So there were different storms. The only similarity was the amount of snow that fell. The conditions, I think, were a lot more against us in Snowmageddon.
I'm just curious. So you mentioned, you know, this is a kind of a unique situation with the amount of snow we have and the rain that we're about to have. When you heard this news of the rain coming, like, how much stress does that you'd add to the you know, the effort that's already underway?
Well, you know, in terms of stress, it's stress on our staff. I mean, we have a very, very qualified, capable staff that do great work. They've got all our equipment is on the road, so they have the tools to get this work done. And we're also able to bring in contractors to help support that. The rain will add a level of complexity that we really don't need right now, but we have the staff deployed to be able to manage that, because you really don't know for 100% sure what's going to happen once the rain begins. We know the trouble spots and we can address those, but the route of drainage of water changes with the snow as well, so that becomes a challenge. So yeah, you know, we want to get through this. We want to make sure everybody is safe. We want to make sure that we keep the streets and the main arteries open, and we'll deal with it as it comes.
So that was Mayor Danny Breen speaking with reporters at St. John's City Hall this afternoon, including VOCM's Sarah Strickland, addressing some of the concerns and questions that have been raised already about snow clearing in the capital city region, especially ahead of this evening's heavy rainfall. If you have any thoughts on that, you're certainly welcome to give us a call. We're up to news time now with said Sarah Strickland. You're listening to News Talk on VOCM.
Nutrition, exercise, keeping the cold at bay. Whatever keeps you feeling great, the Wellness and Healthy Lifestyle Show on your VOCM.
And we are back. And Greg, are you following this flap now out of Buckingham Palace concerning Princess Kate?
No, I saw a couple of things floating around online, but I didn't buy into it today.
Well, here's the thing. So you know by now that Princess Kate had undergone this major surgery of some kind. They haven't detailed what kind of surgery. Of course, you know, as we've always said, nature abhors a vacuum. So you try to fill those spaces in. So there's been a lot of speculation about the princess's health and the like. So I guess what the princess was hoping to do was quell some of the concerns or questions that have been raised about her health. And she put out a picture, a family picture, she and the children. And it was beautiful. It was a beautiful picture. She looked smiling. She looked well. The kids looked happy and robust and all the rest of it. And it was widely shared on news organizations around the world. And then, wait a minute. Somebody picked up, I think it was the Associated Press, picked up and said, wait a minute, this looks like it's been manipulated in some way or shape or form. They noticed a little inconsistency in the alignment of some limbs or an arm or a leg or something. I don't know. Anyway, and oh yeah, lo and behold, it had been manipulated. So of course, most news organizations say, "Ooh, we're not touching it." They dropped the picture.
Yeah.
And so that's led to even more speculation now, because Kensington Palace, I said Buckingham Palace, it's actually Kensington Palace, who's in charge of the Prince of Wales and his wife, says it will not release the original unedited photograph. So everybody's going, whoa. Okay, so Princess Kate claims, and she put out a tweet there, she says, not unlike other people, you know, I, you know, like to edit pictures right. and stuff. Well, that's just great. However, so that caused news organizations to pull it, of course, because we're not interested in that kind of thing. And then now they're not going to release the original photograph. So this is raising even, so it's become a bit of a PR disaster for the royals, who are watched worldwide by an awful lot of people. So anyway, very interesting indeed. So why she felt compelled to do that, and what else was edited, I guess, are the big questions that remain. So whatever she had done to try and quell speculation about her health and how she's been doing has only created even a bigger nightmare for her. Anyway, just thought I'd throw it out there since everybody's talking about it. The former mayor of Stephenville is back on council after being urged to run by concerned citizens. Tom O'Brien, Morris Hines, and Darren Roberts were all elected to council last week in a hotly contested by-election that saw 12 people come forward to fill three vacancies. Former town councillor Lenny Tiller spoke out last month after tendering his resignation, describing a dysfunctional workplace marked by bullying and intimidation. And you may have heard that call on VOCM Open Line with Patty Daly. Well, former mayor and now newly re-elected town councillor Tom O'Brien spoke with me this morning just minutes before being sworn in. Well, Tom O'Brien, you're back on council in Stephenville. What prompted you to offer yourself up again?
Well, I had a tremendous amount of encouragement from residents throughout the town. You mean residents were certainly expressing a concern and dissatisfaction with some of the decisions council were making and the direction that they were going. So, you mean, I had a lot of encouragement from throughout the community.
Do you share that concern?
Yes, I do.
You're a former mayor. You know how things work, and you know some of the issues that were on your plate, you know, in your previous role there. What's going on?
There's a number of issues going on. There's no question about that. You mean it's you mean most recently in the media? You mean you heard three councillors resign and one councillor saying that they were bullied and that type of thing. You mean there's issues with staff at town hall. You mean talking with staff, that's the first place we have to start. You mean we got some great staff, but you mean they're totally stressed out, sitting on the edge of their seats, just basically waiting for the next shoe to drop. So you mean there's things that need to be cleaned up.
What I mean, what's top on your priority list now?
Well, first and foremost, you mean we have to get our staff settle down, if you will, for the want of a better word. You mean there's been a lot going on there. They've been totally stressed out and not knowing what's going to happen from one day to the next. So you mean that's not a good work environment. You mean OH&S has been called in. They were in and done a preliminary investigation, and they're coming back to do a full-fledged investigation. So I mean we need to get town hall settled down so that we can move forward as a community.
So that's what a lot of people have been worried about, but there's this whole other issue now surrounding the airport. Any concerns there?
Well, the airport issue has been an issue that's been on the go for 2.5 years now. You mean there's been a lot of pretty lofty promises and announcements and that, but very little action to be seen on the ground yet. I realize it does take time for things to happen, but you mean the airport, Mr. Diamond has a plan, I guess, and he'll move forward with it when he sees fit or on his time schedule. But you mean there is concerns there. You mean I'm certainly going to be interested in seeing what the final deal of the airport was, and what's in the deal or what's not in the deal. I mean, at the beginning of this process, back in the fall of 2021, I mean, there was a $10,000 price tag on the airport, and but somewhere along the line, that $10 million fell off the table.
Are there concerns now that someone has the airport who may not develop it to the extent that they had promised?
I mean, that is a concern with some, yes.
So it sounds like you have a lot of work ahead of you. When do you start digging in?
We get sworn in 40 minutes.
Well, you've got a busy day ahead of you then. Obviously you felt concerned enough and people were coming to you. Do you think these matters can be resolved?
Oh, there's no question. You mean, Stephenville is a resilient community. I mean, we've gone through difficult times before and worked through, and I'm sure we can work through this one. You mean, I used the example the other day of back in 2005 when I became the mayor. It was basically flood day in September, and then the 14th of December, the mill closed. But you mean, everyone rallied together, especially our staff, and we got through an uncertain time.
Well, Tom O'Brien, I do appreciate your time. Keep us up to date. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And he says there are a lot of issues to be addressed on the Stephenville Town Council, not the least of which are these concerns that have been raised about HR and the work environment at the town. And, of course, there was a huge interest in that particular by-election. 12 people came forward to fill just 3 vacancies, and former Mayor Tom O'Brien was among them. They were sworn in earlier today. Well, when we come back, another disruption from the public gallery in the House of Assembly this afternoon as debate continued on the province's role in ensuring a smooth start to the crab fishery. When we come back right after this, this is News Talk on VOCM.
Your voice in Newfoundland and Labrador's biggest conversation.
If you want to know what's happening in your province, tune in to Open Line every day.
Have your say weekday morning starting at 9 a.m. on Open Line with Patty Daly on your VOCM.
And we're back. Well, another disruption from the public gallery in the House of Assembly this afternoon as debate continued on the provincial government's role in ensuring a smooth start to the crab fishery, which, of course, is only just weeks away. Here's how some of the debate went just a short while ago.
Premier, you have told this House that you and your minister toured the province talking to fishers about their concerns. Can you tell this House what particular issues did the fishers want addressed?
The Honourable the Premier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I'm happy to address that question. Thank you for the question. Of course, we heard that there are significant historic and long-standing structural issues within the fishing industry, Mr. Speaker. First of all, let me thank everybody who works in that industry and how much we value them and the contribution they make to our society and to the economy in general, Mr. Speaker. We heard that there are structural issues with respect to corporate concentration.
Order, please. Ask members of the gallery to take your seats. If not, we'll clear the gallery. Thank you. The Honourable the Premier.
As we heard loud and clear, there's issues with potential outside buyers, Mr. Speaker. We heard there's issues with corporate concentration, Mr. Speaker. We've heard that there was many structural issues, and we're prepared on this side, Mr. Speaker, as we've told them, told the FFAW, Mr. Speaker, and told the ASP that we would do a full and fulsome review of all of those issues, Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable the Leader of the Official Opposition.
Speaker, again, can the Premier tell the fishers here today and across the province, what action are you taking to address their issues?
Welcome. The Honourable the Premier.
Well, first of all, Mr. Speaker, what we heard from everybody across the province, including harvesters, including plant workers, Mr. Speaker.
Order, please. Sir. Final reminder, if not, I'll clear a gallery. Please take your seats. I respect what you're causing and everything else, but
I also ask you to have respect for this House. Thank you. The Honourable Premier.
What we heard time and time again, Mr. Speaker, was the old panel price setting was not working, Mr. Speaker. Everyone was unanimous in that they wanted something different, Mr. Speaker. As a consequence of that feedback, Mr. Speaker, we enabled the Blackwood Report, Mr. Speaker, which laid out a formula that would potentially share in the risk on both sides, to prevent risk for the harvesters in the low price environment and prevent too much risk for the processors in a high price environment. I am happy to say that is apparently the two sides. We're not particularly at the table, as we are just a facilitator in that discussion. Both sides are at the table right now, trying to land at the right space for harvesters, Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable the Leader of the Official Opposition.
Speaker, the fishery is the backbone of our province. Fishers have their boats, they have their crews, they have their quotas. Now all they want to do is go out and catch their quotas and be able to have it processed. I asked the Premier, is that too much to ask?
Great question.
The Honourable the Premier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The member opposite and I are, and the harvesters and the plant workers are fully aligned. We want an orderly, timely start to this fishery, Mr. Speaker. It's in their best interest. Believe it or not, it's in our best interest, Mr. Speaker. That's why we set forth a process that was different than last year, which forced a choice between one extreme price and the other. That was the panel that was set up years ago. We tried to modernize that. Again, both sides are at the table right now, Mr. Speaker, and as I understand it, the ball is in the FFAW's court, and they're supposed to report back this week, Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable the Leader of the Official Opposition.
Speaker, I would suggest that the ball shouldn't be in anybody else's court but the Premier's. The Premier needs to take the lead. The Premier knows this is what's happening. The Premier knows the galleries are filled with people concerned about their livelihoods. It's time for the Premier to be in their court, and right now, and it needs to happen immediately. I asked the Premier on another issue. When did you first learn that Canadian Health Labs to provide the offer from Canadian Health Labs to provide travel nurses to this province?
The Honourable the Premier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Given the people in the gallery, let me take a moment to address the preamble, Mr. Speaker. I take this very serious, Mr. Speaker. I called both sides into my office last week, Mr. Speaker, after the harvester showed up, Mr. Speaker. I was certainly here, Mr. Speaker. As a result, the two sides are driving together and trying to hammer out a deal that is in their best interest, Mr. Speaker.
Order, please.
So we didn't have a meeting?
I asked members on both sides of the House. Order.
Yes, you did. You did. You said he wasn't here.
Order, please. Premier. Order, please. You want to waste question period back and forth? The Honourable the Premier. You have 20 more seconds, sir.
Right? Met with them Tuesday morning, Mr. Week. Speaker, both of them. I met with the ASP separate. I met with the FFAW, Mr. Speaker, on Tuesday morning. I'm happy to say that is actually a fact, despite the members opposite. With respect to the body of the question itself, Mr. Speaker, I became aware of that contract when the CBC or the Globe and Mail news report came out, Mr. Speaker.
So that was Premier Andrew Furey answering some questions in the House of Assembly this afternoon. Questions raised by opposition leader Tony Wakeham. And what you could hear going on in the background there, and we're accustomed to the usual chipping and remarks on the floor of the House of Assembly, but these remarks and sounds and disruptions are coming from the gallery, and we've had a couple of days of this. VOCM's Richard Duggan joins me now. Hello.
Hello, Linda.
So what's going on?
So yeah, so the fish harvesters have been up in the gallery every day this sitting so far. And basically how it's been unfolding is that they'll come in, they'll listen to the first round of questions because they know that the fisheries will come up at the beginning. And it's been a toss-up. Some days it's been very quiet and they'll hear the questions and then they'll get up and they'll leave. And some days, like you heard today, they'll shout a couple of things from up in the gallery. There was one day last week where it really sort of went up, if you recall. Today wasn't as bad as that. But that's basically been it, and it's just been constant every day. They'll come in, they'll fill the gallery, they'll hear what is said about the fishery, and then that's it. They get up and they'll leave, sometimes with comments, sometimes without comments. But it just goes to show a growing angst, I guess, for the start of this fishery, especially, I guess, considering how it all unfolded last year, and we all know about the big delay that kept everything tied up for a couple of months. So,
well, so high stakes, no question about it. And of course, we haven't heard an awful lot about how those talks are going. I can only assume that the fact that questions are being raised in the House of Assembly and that fish harvesters are up in the gallery to take that in, that they're worried that things are not going well. So I don't know the facts on that yet. Is it unusual, Ricky? What are the protocols when it comes to participation from the gallery? You're not supposed to speak.
No, you're not supposed to speak at all. So I think you could just hear it in the bit of audio that you just played. But, you know, once people started shouting some stuff out and yelling, Speaker Derek Bennett would get up and say, you know, any more outbursts, we'll clear the gallery. And they won't hesitate to do that. They did that last week. That's it. There's no... You can't yell anything. You can't do anything like that. They're basically – the purpose of the gallery is to just go up and watch what's going on. And so that's why there's been a little bit of an increased awareness of people going into the gallery over the last couple of days because there have been a couple of those outbursts. That's – you're supposed to just stay up and just watch and no participation whatsoever. So it'll be interesting to see now how things are handled if these sort of – things are keep happening because it seems to be a bit more of a rare occurrence. I know last week we were kind of, as reporters watching, we go out because we knew that there was more people in the gallery than usual. And the first couple of days there was nothing. It was just they were watching. And then once the fisheries questions were over, then they'd leave. And then I believe it was last Wednesday. That was the day that things sort of really hit a crescendo. And you know, there was the big uproar and people got removed and all this stuff. So now I think that there is a little bit of a heightened, okay, well, we're going to see what happens if this keeps happening. Who knows? They might have to make some changes. I don't know. There seems to be, at least from my perspective, to be a little bit more of a heightened awareness of what's going on in the gallery.
Increased security or security measures being taken?
We saw the House of Assembly earlier today announced that they won't be allowing people to bring their cell phones into the public galleries anymore. They sent out that tweet. And I asked for clarification, and it's just because of... misuse, I guess, because when you're up in the speaker's gallery in the house, you're not supposed, like, you can't take any pictures, you can't take any videos, anything like that. The explanation I got never went into specific details about incidents that may have happened, but I can only imagine that would be part of it, to prevent people from taking the pictures and videos, because that's a no-no. So that is one aspect of it. I have noticed there has been a little bit more of a police presence at Confederation Building, just as a precaution, even just up in the public gallery. I didn't notice today when I was down there, but I know last week they had two police officers up there just sort of keeping an eye on everything. And today when you go down, I think there was at least two police cars parked outside of Confederation Building while the house was sitting. So there has been a little bit, not totally out of the normal for a couple of police cars to be at Confederation Building while the house is open, but I've certainly noticed it a bit more during this setting because of the increased amount of people that have been there.
And there's no indication that, you know, anything is leading to this concern other than the presence and, I guess, the high emotion.
Yeah, high emotion. I mean, we've seen it before, right? Last year, like I talk about last week, things sort of went up in the house, but I keep thinking about last year where everything really hit a crescendo and there was yelling and they had to actually shut down proceedings in the house for 15 or 20 minutes while they cleared the gallery because things got so highly emotional. So I think, you know, with that experience still relatively near in the rearview mirror, I think they're kind of taking a bit of an approach to it and just waiting to see, because it is, I mean, we've seen it many times before. I mean, the fishery, people's livelihoods are depending on it. And so, you know, when the stakes are that high, you know, they need to take that extra precaution, I guess.
Richard Duggan, appreciate this. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Richard Duggan is VOCM's legislative reporter. That's it for us for today, folks. Do stay safe out there. If you happen to be out and about, be mindful. We're going to get an awful lot of rain, especially on the eastern portion of the island. On the west coast, the story is snow, so adjust yourself accordingly. We'll be back tomorrow. Do join us then. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye for now.